right, guys, welcome to our first podcast. Lots happening in tech news this week. Over the weekend, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, you guys may know CISA, and National Institute of Standards in Technology, NIST, issued a critical infrastructure control systems cybersecurity performance goals. It's a mouthful. This is a little bit of an add-on to the White House memo that was issued back on July 28th from, you may have seen them, a streamline of ransomware attacks that have been blowing up the news. Just a little recap on that. As ransomware has grown in popularity and blown up, the government has deemed certain industries and companies their cybersecurity practices as a threat to the U.S. economy. Basically, NIST and CISA have finally set SMART goals to keep the U.S. safe.
Yeah. So, hey guys, James Schuler, that was a mouthful. What?
I didn't even say my name.
No. Are you still recording? Because that's a fun way to start this. We expect a lot of mishaps. We're definitely not going to be perfect at this. And so y'all just heard from Taylor, the girl who will go unnamed throughout this podcast.
Taylor Uden, everybody.
Good job getting through all those acronyms. That's certainly a mouthful. Why we are doing this though, guys, is because it seems like after the webinars we do, there's always something that happens right on the heels of it. And man, we really missed our timing on this. We saw this happen with the cyber insurance webinar we hosted, where right after it seems like this wave of renewals and first-time policyholders wanted us to help them with their questionnaires from their insurance company.
Yeah.
No different with this. We just happened to comment about what's going to happen next. Now that electric providers, pipeline operators are being scrutinized by the government, who's next? Do you remember who Brian said might be next in our webinar?
It was food service, right?
Food services. Yeah. He brought up Cisco in Houston, right? Food service wasn't listed. Interestingly enough, wasn't listed. There was another list, though. Do you have that in front of you?
Tell me a little bit more about it, though.
It's the ISPs. It's the cellular companies. It's water facilities. Mm-hmm. And these have been hit recently in different markets by cyber attacks for sure. So I'm glad they're taking a look at what's critical. We've seen in the news, though, CNA, not the insurance company, but the logistics firm, the shipper, so transportation, has put a real big hold on cargo. So they were attacked, and now everything's backed up in the shipping yards. So kind of funny. They've hit Colonial Pipeline, stopping our flow of oil and gas. They hit JBS, putting our food at risk. They've hit cargo, so now transportation. So the TSA, who was brought in to help Homeland Security back with the pipeline operator audits, maybe that made a lot more sense than it looked on the surface. So really excited that Brian Hoogendam, CIO over at Lotus Midstream or Centurion Pipeline, joined us to talk about this less than 2 weeks ago. And here we are seeing more news come out on the exact same topic, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, tell me a little bit about what was exactly added on to the memo.
Yeah.
What's
so
different?
Great question. I don't know about different. The White House memo that was released outlined 9 different ways that we need to try to protect ourselves. That covered multi-factor authentication, endpoint detection and response, encryption, an empowered security team, backups, patching, testing, vulnerability scans and pen tests, and then network segmentation. Those 9 things are just really put into more of a concrete or defined posture. So if you read all the news, it's a little bit boring read, but if you read all these things, they actually listed it's a voluntary initiative. It's intended to drive collaboration between federal government and critical infrastructure community to improve cybersecurity of control systems. They've even paired this off into 2 different categories, and I'm blanking on the name of it. Doesn't really matter for the sake of our conversation. But those that are deemed somewhat less critical have these voluntary controls, and those that are deemed far more critical, like contractors for the federal government, they have a more stringent line of controls they have to follow. So the entire thing's spelled out now. They're starting to push out the audits and grade the private sector on what that's going to look like. So that's what drove today, huh? That's why we're here.
Absolutely.
We found it interesting.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, it's hard to read, like you said, so that's why we're talking about it. they talk about energy, communications, transportation, mm-hmm. water, you know, being maybe the list of critical infrastructures that at least the government deems important.
Sure.
Is there anything else that sticks out to you that is missed or
maybe food sector, like Brian said, right?
Yeah.
So anything at all that can impact our way of life, that can reduce the way that we're used to living is probably going to be deemed critical soon enough.
These seem pretty like broad scope as they are, though. Right. Like lots of things could fall underneath them.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Big net to cast there. I would say too, look at the financial industries already pretty well scrutinized, but perhaps we're going to see changes to how they end up getting audited or looked at. We're certainly going to see companies that don't fall under public trading, those private organizations that aren't traded publicly, start to have their first taste of government sanctions or third-party sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting.
Brian Hoogendam talked a bit about this, though, while we were in Galveston. He said a few times that expect the scrutiny to grow, expect there to be more industries covered, and expect it to move quick. The timeline's amazing. If you don't have to go all the way back to November of 2020 to kind of see this all fly through. In fact, it was July 28th when the president signed the National Security Memorandum. That's when we all started talking about those nine things I mentioned. We had some quiet during August, and then here we are September, and they've already acted on how they're going to implement. So they're moving much faster than the old joke, the old adage that the government moves slow, right? So they're moving pretty quick.
Yeah. Speaking on that, Brian talked a little bit about how fast he had to move too. Mm-hmm. The TSA moved quick on him, and he had 6 weeks, I think, to get his audit in order. How quickly do you think this is going to, you know, affect us personally?
Good question. Brian said too that had to do with the timing that the TSA does other audits within their company. So because he was already scheduled, they just squeezed in their IT audit as well. So companies and industries that are already scrutinized by some third-party audit, they're likely going to have this fit right in. Take like a CFO who signs off on financial audits because they follow SOX compliance. Well, IT is already following certain controls because of SOX, but now there might be some new things added that they weren't ready for. Some will have a year to plan for that as they just got through their audits, and others will have them upcoming and they'll have to squeeze them in and figure out how to make that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should we be worried like right now and acting quickly on this? Or do you think, you know, we have some time, we can figure it out, we can talk to our partners?
Yeah, it would depend on your current security posture. So if today you don't have any preventative measures in place, I would be worried for a totally different reason. They're not, the bad actors today are not necessarily attacking the biggest of the attractive industries. Instead, they're casting a wide net and then they're turning their back to it for a while and seeing what hits. Most commonly, what we're seeing at Center is that it's an end user who's trying to get to a file, who can't access that file and submits a ticket to the support team, a trouble ticket, to try to figure out why can't I get there. Put yourself in their shoes though. There's probably been plenty of times where a file's not reachable, maybe it's an Excel spreadsheet that says it's been corrupted. Well, did you hear that noise? That noise, guys, is the problem with the live show. But if you've ever been in that position like I have, I would just move on with my day. I wouldn't stop to submit a ticket and work that out as to why that file wasn't there. In the case though, someone finally gets to the point where it's a necessity to meet a deadline, they need that file. So they submit a ticket, and IT gets involved, and that's when the uncovering happens that something's encrypted. So if you can pretend for a minute you have no preventative measure, no proactive threat hunter looking around your environment, it's that dumb luck that's going to occur. We just got out of helping a company out with a breach. That's how they found it. And then we caught it at roughly 40% encryption. None of the workstations were hit. It was just the servers, but all the servers had to come offline. And for 5 weeks, we've been helping them bring back everything safely. So we've been preaching for a while. I'll readdress it again. Clean copy of data, meaning your backups need to be not only backed up, but there for you, ready to use. They need to be segmented. They need to be immutable. immutable would be a good way for all backups to be. Second, you need to have some kind of proactive threat hunter in the environment, preferably next-gen antivirus coupled with an endpoint detection and response tool. And then all of that encompassed with the SOC as a service so that you're not missing those logs and alerts and anomalies. Third, visibility into your security gaps. The visibility is going to come only through scanning. Once you have those scans, you need a program in place that's going to assign ownership to how you're going to remediate those gaps. And Taylor, I usually get this question, what am I going to see in that scan? You're going to see like where you're using default passwords, where you have the default credentials of new hardware was implemented, or maybe a port that's open to the internet. And then lastly, you got to have a response plan. If you can cover those four, clean copy of data, proactive threat hunter, visibility into security gaps, and then a response plan, you've just about covered all nine of the White House memo and covered the entire initiative being pushed out by the government to critical systems today.
Yeah, lots happening in the news, guys. This is just the latest this week from the government as they get involved with private businesses. Stay tuned as we talk about more.